The name of the book is Introverts in Love, The Quiet Way to Happily Ever After. Sophia Dembling is our guest. She is also the author of the book, The Introvert's Way, and it's a pleasure to have her back on our program. The book is published by Putnam. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
I'm happy to be here.
Very nice to have you with us. What led you to this subject?
I started writing about introversion in 2007 when I started the Introverts Corner on Psychology Today, and then the other book came out, and I get a lot of questions from introverts. Many of them are about relationships, because when you think about it, introversion sort of exists in relationship to other people. If we didn't have to deal with other people, would we even know we were introverts? And so I would hear from people, from introverts wondering how to meet people. I heard quite often from extroverts wondering if they were being shut out of their introverts' lives and how to deal with the introverts' need for solitude. And so it seemed like it was a topic that needed addressing.
It does seem like this would be the ultimate problem for an introvert, right? To put yourself out in some way to meet somebody. And it seems to fly in everything that introverts are worried about.
It's true. I mean, really, when it comes to relationships, and to some extent, meeting people is the hardest part. And I write a lot about, you know, various ways and learning to get yourself out there and how to sort of look approachable. Once we get into a one-on-one situation, you know, that first date or something, we're really pretty good at that. We're good conversationalists. We're great listeners. It's just getting out there and meeting people that's difficult. And then the other part that gets difficult is when you're in a relationship, sort of negotiating the time together versus time apart and letting the other person understand that it has nothing to do with not wanting to be with them. It has to do with needing our own space and figuring out, you know, solitude and intimacy are not mutually exclusive, and it's figuring out how to make them work together.
I realize it's hard to generalize, but are introverts generally attracted to introverts, or do they tend to go to an extrovert?
Well, that was one of the kind of surprising things for me when I started talking to people. I interviewed about 50 introverts for this book, and what I found is that of those who are in relationships, because I talked to single, married, divorced, newlyweds, long-time marriages, about half were in relationships with introverts and about half were in relationships with extroverts. And it really depended on whether they were sort of people who wanted somebody to kind of pull them out and bring a social life to them, or if they were looking for somebody who wanted someone who would stay at home with them. And I look at some of the research by Helen Fisher, who researches the chemistry of attraction and love, and it seems like there are some people who really are more sort of adventurers and explorers. And I think those are probably the introverts who are looking for an extrovert to get them more out in the world, whereas builders are the ones who want somebody to stay home and cuddle up with them.
Because that idea of going out versus staying home is a key one, because the introvert, and I would put myself in that category where, you know, you feel, oh, you go to work, you're out enough. You know, let's just stay in. And then meanwhile, you may have a person on the opposite side who's saying, well, I think it's not only important for us as a couple, but it's important for you to get out as well.
Well, that's them, if it is an extrovert, sort of applying their perception of what's healthy on you. And that's one of those things that's sort of a long-term learning process. That's kind of what The Introvert's Way is about. My first book is sort of explaining what that is. I mean, the thing about extroverts is that they truly believe that if you're at home, that you're probably sad or you're needing, and they don't understand that, no, I'm perfectly happy. But it is a negotiation that extrovert couples need to do. And, you know, it may be that the extrovert has to go out without the introvert sometimes, and the introvert needs to let that person know it's okay, and there's no, you know, texting every 10 minutes or calling every 10 minutes or, you know, passive-aggressive sighing if you do that. And the extrovert, too, has to be okay and say, okay, I'm fine with you staying home. I'm going to go out and have a good time and give each other permission and respect the needs.
Do you self-identify as an introvert?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And so what does that give you, not only insight, but some compassion to the issues, right?
I really think it does, yeah. And I've learned a tremendous amount from talking to other introverts and from comments on my blog You know, we're all a little bit different. There are different degrees of introversion. And, you know, it's kind of a continuum. So there's a lot to learn from other introverts as well.
I know we talked about this the last time you were on the program, but how do you define it? How do you define being an introvert?
The definition that most of us are the most comfortable with, because it's a little bit of a moving target, is that introverts tend to get drained of energy by social interaction, as opposed to extroverts who tend to build up energy, who tend to draw energy from social interaction.
So when it comes to introverts in love, one of the things that you write about is that it's very difficult for an introvert, because often they will feel that because they're introverted and they're main, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but they are not as charming. They don't have the personality that an extroverted person would have, and they often need support for that, right? Because you feel like you're not living up to what is expected.
Yeah. I mean, and it's hard for us to feel like anybody notices us when you're in a room full of extroverts and they're all sparkling around. But what I want introverts to know is that we do have that glow that people notice. I mean, anybody who's going to be attracted to a sparkly extrovert, probably that's not the person for us anyway. And so there are people who are noticing the quiet ones or the ones who can sit down and have an intense conversation. I mean, even in a big party, I often find myself in very deep conversation with people like me who would rather have deep conversation than be dancing around and meeting everybody. So we're kind of told that we're not as happy, we're not as noticeable, you know, we're not getting out there and working the room. But I think that if we have confidence in what we have to offer, that comes across and the right people will take notice.
I like that idea. I want to expand on a little bit of the right people taking notice, because often you'll be at a party, a gathering, and people will come up to you and they'll try to bring you into a conversation. And after 2 or 3 minutes, I'm done. I don't know what to say. This sounds callous, but I don't really care. You know, I just don't know how to make that next step. So I like this idea. But then how do you find the right person to have that conversation with, you know, to know who else, because the extroverted person is going to be the one who's going to come over to you. The
right.
Introvert isn't going to tend to be the one who's going to go over and talk to another person.
Well, if you find that quiet, you know, if you look around a party, for example, and see the person who's looking at the bookshelf, you know, or looking at the art. I compare it to those, you know, those pictures that where you look at it for a while and it's one thing, and then you look at it a different way and you see another image. I think there's Freud and a naked lady. And once
right.
you see that other image, you can't unsee it. Once you start looking around for the introverts who are not jumping up in your face, you begin to see them. And that's when you kind of wander over and comment on whatever book it is. Or you see they're sitting at a chair and there's, you know, a coffee table book nearby. Or you make a comment about the music. And, you know, an introvert knows how to approach another introvert in a sort of a low-key way. And if you want to have a real conversation, I mean, you're at that party, and if you're there to meet people and want to meet introverts, you might have to step a little bit out of your comfort zone for sure. But if you look for the people who obviously you're going to share a sensibility with, it's going to be a lot easier, and you're going to go from awkward chit-chat to real conversation, possibly pretty quickly.
I understand your point that you made earlier about how people often will look at an introvert in a sad way of feeling bad for them that they're staying home and not realizing that that's what they want, you know, that they're really enjoying that experience. But if you're in a social setting, sometimes when you're talking and talking to other introverts, what you have in common is that you're miserable.
Well, then it's time to go home. I mean, really, what one of the things I talk about when it comes to going out and getting out of the house to meet people is that if you promise yourself that you can go home when you've had enough, it makes it a lot easier to go in the first place. You know, I mean, if you're going to a party, I tell the introverts, you know, who are looking to meet somebody, if an invitation doesn't sound like absolute torture, then say yes. You go for as long as it's tolerable or fun or pleasant, and then you give yourself permission to leave. And that means that it's going to be a lot easier to keep circulating if you don't feel like once you get there, you're trapped there until the last drunk passes out. You know? And so, yeah, I mean, and even, you know what? Even if you are both miserable, although you want to be careful about making fun of other people, you don't, you know, the crazy extroverts, you don't know whose friends they are.
Right.
That's something to commiserate over, and it opens the door for some conversation.
So we've talked a lot about meeting people, and so let's go back to the book and talking about the actual phases of a relationship and going through it, because it's obviously this isn't solved once you meet the person.
No, that's when the real negotiation begins. You know, I mean, obviously you have something in common, you find what... Provided introverts are staying cognizant of what it is they want from a relationship, I do would like to point out one caveat is that introverts tend not to be the pursuers from the ones I've spoken to, certainly,
yeah.
And let themselves be pursued, which is great, except that also is a risk of being swept up into a relationship you might not need to be in. The other problem is if we're pretty good at acting like extroverts when we need to, but you don't want to use that as your selling point, because then you're going to find yourself in a relationship where the person says, hey, wait a minute, I thought I had a party animal, and now you want to stay home.
Right.
But once you have figured out that you're in a good relationship or that you're with a person with potential, that's when the negotiation starts between going home and going out. I have a whole chapter about how much calling and texting is too much because a lot of introverts don't like the telephone, and that's actually can be a point of stress. My husband and I had to work out some issues around calling versus email versus texting.
Because instead of actually vocalizing, you say, okay, I can just write this, and that way I don't have to deal with it as much.
Exactly. I mean, everything from, you know, trying to make plans for the evening or something, I finally realized that after one or two emails or texts, if we haven't got it figured out, I got to pick up the phone because he'll just start getting annoyed. And he's finally learned, I hope, that if I do send an email, he needs to read past the first line. He would tend to read the first line and then miss whatever. And one time it was like our pipes has burst, and he didn't realize that until he came home. The other thing we had to discuss early on is that I express myself most comfortably in writing. I mean, not only am I an introvert, but I'm a writer by trade.
Right.
And I would sometimes try to deal with difficult issues by writing to him because that was my most comfortable mode of expression. And he hates that, and he told me don't ever do that, which is a little tough on me, but sometimes what I'll do is write what I have to say and then read it to him face to face. So it's sort of, that's a compromise I've found that I can deal with, much as I don't enjoy it.
You know, one of the things I find fascinating in reading the book is, and you mentioned this, of the 50-50 of introverts with introverts or introverts with extroverts, and having been married over 20 years now to a lovely woman who I would label generally as, I think most people, one of those people that if you ask, most people would say she's an extrovert, but she would self-identify as an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
I know her to be an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
And so but there is that time where you almost have to, you know, you can put it on when you have to. And mm-hmm. and often that is difficult to express, not so much with each other, but sort of the outside world of who you really are. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is that when we're out and about in the world, we are usually putting on our extrovert. I call it my dog and pony show.
Right.
So the people who see us out and about assume we're extroverts because we are. That's the context in which we're behaving extroverted. But over time, with your intimates, I mean, really, in the bigger world, it doesn't matter what they think. You know, if the acquaintances want to think I'm an extrovert, they can think I'm an extrovert. I have to argue with them because of my books, and they're like, you're not an introvert. Yeah, well. But with your intimates, eventually they start figuring it out. With your close friends, they stop trying to drag you out of the corner at their parties, and, you know, they start understanding. Like, my close friends know that I have a lot of friends who are far-flung, who are all over the country. But I would much prefer to schedule my phone calls to catch up. I don't like it when the phone rings. I won't pick it up. And so they've just gotten used to that if they want to have a chat, which I love, for an hour, which is what usually happens, we set an appointment, and then it's like a visit, and I don't feel ambushed.
Sylvia Demling is the author of The Introvert's Way and the new book Introverts in Love, The Quiet Way to Happily Ever After. She is also the writer for the Introverts Corner blog for Psychology Today. Introverts in Love is published by Penguin. Sylvia, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program again.
It was my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is Introverts in Love by Sylvia Demling. It is published by Penguin. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.